Today on Annenberg Radio News,
we'd be telling a mother, we can serve you, but we can't serve your three-year-old. And no mother can do that.
South LA aid programs brace for budget cuts. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 13th, 2011. I'm Regina Graham. Immigrant rights activists are calling for the firing of two popular Los Angeles radio hosts. Latinos Group says the John and Ken show incites hate against immigrants. Melissa Runnels has more.
The Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of LA, or CHIRLA, the National Hispanic Media Coalition, and other groups held a protest today outside Clear Channel Communications' L.A. headquarters in Burbank. The groups are demanding that Clear Channel fire popular drive-time radio hosts John and Ken of KFIAM after what the groups say has been years of inflammatory language about Latino immigrants. David Ibarra was at today's protest.
But the tone, the racial overtones that they use are completely wrong And I think that someone needs to put a stop to how they say it and what they say.
In a recent show, John and Ken read out the personal phone number of immigrant rights activist Jorge Mario Cabrera on air and posted the number on their website. The number had been listed in a news release. Within minutes of airing the number, Cabrera received almost 300 voicemails telling him to leave the country and calling him a wetback, among other things. Advertisers such as Ralph's, Vaughn's, AT&T, and Verizon have withdrawn advertising from the show. Maria Rodriguez of CHIRLA says they simply want good journalism.
Be responsible with your journalism. Be responsible with what you're reporting.
Organizers say they will continue to press for the removal of the hosts. Producers for the John and Ken show were unavailable for comment. Melissa Runnels, ARN.
Congress is debating trillions of dollars of spending cuts to reduce the country's deficit. But supporters of some of the programs slated for cuts say crossing a line off a budget can affect thousands of people. Ariel Edwards-Levy has more on one of the programs that might lose funding.
WIC stands for Women, Infants, Children. And in L.A., it serves 300,000 of them with healthy foods each month. One recipient is Alejandra Delphine, a mother of three. She feeds her kids mostly off WIC.
They like the cereal, they like the fruits. I go and buy some nectarines. They like nectarines. They like peanut butter, the bread they give to, milk, mostly milk, eggs. They like everything WICs give.
Beyond the groceries, Delphine says, WIC is part of her community. She's been coming to the office on the corner of Washington and Vermont for 10 years since she was pregnant with her oldest son. Inside the bland strip mall storefront are familiar faces.
Celia, Sandra, Alba, Liz, they're pretty nice people.
They've walked her through everything, from breastfeeding to after-school snacks.
We are as the extended family. People don't have those anymore. They are the tios and the tias and the aunts.
That's Karen Saluja, the deputy director of LA's WIC program. She says federal spending cuts could put tens of thousands of the people using WIC on a waiting list for aid.
If these cuts go through, that would be the cruelest cut of them all, because we'd be telling a mother who's pregnant and maybe has a three-year-old, we can serve you, but we can't serve your three-year-old. And no mother can do that.
Some say the cuts could have a broader impact within the community. Nancy Knauer is a manager for Mother's Nutritional Center, a chain of stores that sells only WIC foods.
So you can send a child into our store with $5 and they won't be able to buy anything except nutritious product. They won't be able to buy candy, liquor, cigarettes, you know, snacks. Everything is healthy.
She says cuts to the program would mean laying off employees, most of whom are also WIC recipients.
If we have to lay off people, then it really affects the community also. And of course the spending power, because last year more than $4.6 billion nationwide is spent on WIC. So if that money is taken away, it affects every local community that we operate out of.
That includes people like Francie Nino. The mother of three-year-old twins, she says she doesn't know what she'd do without WIC.
Spend a lot of money that I don't have. I don't know, borrow a lot of money from people. I only have a part-time job. It's insane, huh? How much it's helped.
Lawmakers who support the cuts say they're necessary to address the country's growing budget deficit. Congress will vote on cuts to WIC and other programs later this fall. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
President Obama has offered to waive the No Child Left Behind education law. More than 37 states have already applied for the waiver. California is not one of them. Last month, Superintendent Tom Torlakson told the LA Times that he is not leaning toward asking for a waiver. Smitha Bundade has more.
The No Child Left Behind Act is based on the belief that setting high standards and measurable goals will improve individual outcomes in education. Gary Ravani is the president of the Early Childhood K-12 Council for the California Federation of Teachers. He didn't comment on how he feels about the waiver. Instead, he says he supports the blueprint for education, which President Obama says will fix problems with the No Child Left Behind Act.
We believe the blueprint for education has a much more powerful reform agenda than anything that's been presented under Race to the Top in the school turnaround strategies. So we'll have to wait and see how that's received in Washington. Hopefully it'll be accepted and they won't be too rigid.
One of the highlights of the blueprint for education is it will give state and local educators flexibility and encourage them to innovate. It also focuses on helping low-performing schools. The state is reluctant to ask for a waiver because it would require that standardized tests be used to evaluate the performance of teachers. The California Teachers Association also opposes the waiver. Frank Wells is CTA's communications correspondent.
We do have some concerns that the waiver process continues some of the same emphasis on testing and tying teacher evaluation to test scores, student achievement.
Wells says the system is geared toward testing students in only two subjects, math and reading, and evaluating schools based on how students do in those two subjects. Wells doesn't think students and schools should be labeled successes and failures based only on standardized tests. Wells is worried the waiver will cost the state billions of dollars.
This is a cash-strapped state, and our schools have been, you know, hit harder than just about any public system. And yeah, if it is in fact going to cost a great deal of money, we wouldn't see any value in going through that waiver process right now.
The California Teachers Association and State Superintendent Tom Torlakson would like Congress to come up with a completely new elementary and secondary education plan to replace No Child Left Behind. Smitha Bundade, Annenberg Radio News.
It's going to feel more like fall in Los Angeles over the next few days, as in the temperature will fall. Tonight's low will be 62 degrees. Tomorrow, we will have a high of 83. Things should keep cooling down this weekend, with the temperature reaching 77 degrees Saturday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we wish a happy 100th birthday to California's ballot initiative process. The family of a deceased inmate claims deputy abuse and poor medical care led to the young man's death. As Aaron Schrank reports, it comes as allegations of abuse and misconduct mount against the LA County Sheriff's Department.
The family of George Rosales gathered outside the Twin Towers jail in downtown Los Angeles today to mourn and call for justice. The family filed a wrongful death claim against the County of Los Angeles and Sheriff Lee Baca on Tuesday. The claim alleges that the October 6th death of the 18-year-old was the result of injuries inflicted by a sheriff's deputy 2 days prior. Rosales' mother, Maria, says she received a call from her son 2 days before his death. Rosales told her he'd been injured and was not receiving the medical care he needed. Attorney Luis Carrillo says Rosales was facing robbery charges out of a Compton court but had not gone to trial. His unexpected death leaves his older brother, Oscar, looking for answers.
I can't believe what happened to my brother, and I'm lost. I really want to know what's the truth and, you know, what was the cause of his death.
This is something that, you know, nobody should go through.
Maria Rosales is George's twin sister.
And I feel that they should pay for what they did. You know, it's not going to bring back my brother, but I just don't want nobody to go through this. That's all.
Michael Giannaco, who heads the sheriff's watchdog agency, says that Rosales was punched in the head by a deputy when he made a break for an elevator. The agency released a report today emphasizing the difficulties of investigating misconduct.
We talked about some of the challenges in proving that excessive force has occurred, or even disproving that it has occurred, because of the limitations on the evidence available in a jail setting.
The claim by the Rosales family is one of many recent public allegations of abuse and misconduct in the L.A. County jail system. The ACLU called for Baca's resignation last month after releasing a report with sworn declarations from eyewitnesses who said they'd seen deputies use unnecessary force on inmates. The FBI has been investigating this very issue in L.A. County prisons. And last week, the L.A. Times reported that a sheriff's rookie quit his job after he was forced to beat a nonviolent, mentally disabled inmate. Baca announced Sunday the formation of a task force to investigate the 78 allegations of abuse in the county jail system. Attorney Luis Carrillo sent a letter to Attorney General Eric Holder asking for a far-reaching investigation into the prisons by a federal agency. A spokeswoman for the sheriff's department said Baca was not commenting on the Rosales case at this time. Aaron Schrank, Annenberg Radio News.
The group Consumer Watchdog brought a giant birthday cake to the site of Occupy LA this morning. They were celebrating the 100th anniversary of California's ballot initiative process, which allows the public to write laws and put them up for a vote in California. Sarah Golden caught up with the group's Jamie Court to find out what the celebration was all about.
We're basically celebrating the fact that the people have a power to go to the ballot themselves and pass laws. And 100 years ago, that power was given to them by Governor Hiram Johnson in 1911.
This is why there are always so many initiatives on the California ballot. Is that correct?
There's so many initiatives because there are a lot of rich groups that can afford to qualify them. There's sometimes initiatives that are very genuine, people-powered initiatives. But there are a lot of initiatives because the legislature doesn't do its job one way or the other too often. It's beholden today to insurance companies and banks and oil companies.
You also bring up an interesting point that those who have more resources are more able to sort of influence this process. How has the public sort of reacted to this?
Most of the initiatives are shot down. Over 60% of initiatives are unapproved because people are confused by them or there's advertising that confuses them and people don't trust the initiative process. But when you have a good initiative, I think it's worth all the bad stuff. The initiative process is fraught with fleas, and you know, you got to take the dog as he comes. Overall, the dog's been pretty loyal to the people.
So what can people do to know the difference between good initiatives and bad initiatives, as you put it?
Well, they've got to read. They've got to read the ballot pamphlet and pretty much look at who's on what side. It's pretty obvious when you have the CEO of an insurance company on one side that it's probably not in the interest of the people. And, you know, you have the consumer groups on the other side. You could probably guess which way to vote. But some people just listen to TV ads, and you have to look beyond the TV ads to actually the details of the initiative.
Why are you celebrating the 100th birthday at Occupy LA?
Because this is a place where the people, the 99% of the people, are occupying space and taking energy and wanting to find a new way. And we wanted to tap into that spirit, but also say there is a point to the spear. The point of the people's spear is the ballot initiative process. It can puncture corporate power. It can change things. So it's great that people are camping out and sharing stories and talking about the future and doing classes. If we can get them involved in the ballot initiative process, we'll all have a lot more power.
That was Jamie Court of Consumer Watchdog speaking with Sarah Golden. Hold on. A lot of Americans are unhappy with the contenders for president, but one group thinks it has the solution. The organization Americans Elect wants to change the nomination process. Elliot Ackerman is the chief operating officer for Americans Elect. If you could just tell us briefly, what is your organization about?
Sure, Gina, and thanks so much for having me. Americans Elect, we're going to be putting on the ticket in the 2012 presidential election a bipartisan ticket, Republican with a Democrat, Democrat with an independent, and what we're doing is inviting every American to participate in a convention that's going to be hosted at AmericansElect.org to put a ticket on the ballot that they have a direct hand in nominating.
Between the Republicans and Democrats and the Independent Party, do you guys actually think you have a feasible chance to make this happen?
You know, talk about where we're sitting right now. It's October, and we already know as Americans that the next 5.5 years it's going to either be Obama, Romney, Perry, or I guess today Herman Cain, but it's only four choices. Why can't we have more choices in our politics? So at Americans Elect, we're inviting every registered voter to become a delegate to this convention, and the ticket that comes out of it is going to be on the ballot in all 50 states. And you know, we think by giving the American people the opportunity to participate in another competition, we're going to see some great tickets come out of this that the parties aren't putting forward right now.
With the Occupy Wall Street movement and it gaining success around America with various Occupy different city movements, how are you guys trying to gain on that momentum?
Well, you know, we can see, Regina, there's a huge amount of dissatisfaction out there. And all of these movements, whether it be the Occupy movement or the Tea Party movement, they all exist because our political system isn't putting forward real solutions and authentic leaders who are offering up the American people real solutions. So what if there could be a ticket where all those people who are out occupying Wall Street put their energy to putting a authentic ticket on the ballot? Americans Elect is a vehicle that is allowing folks to come together and put forward tickets that aren't getting put forward by the parties. You know, the parties are just their old way of organizing, and they currently hold a complete monopoly on political power in this country. What if the American people, using social